Freshly shaved skin. Those who dared the early fabric and wood flying machines were uncomfortable enough in basket seats and freezing environs, so they took to scraping their stubble before bedtime in order to give their flesh time to toughen back up. Though his open cockpit days were long past, P.I. was nothing if not a creature of habit. He finished drying off and grabbed his clothes. Despite the tropical heat, P.I. always favored long-sleeved khaki button-down shirts for work. Part of this was a sense of professionalism. Mostly, though, it was a way of hiding an indiscretion from his past life. He slipped into the shirt, the left sleeve concealing a pair of tattoos. One on his forearm depicted an American eagle clutching the U.S. Navy shield. The Statue of Liberty adorned his left shoulder, an embodiment of P.I.'s youthful sense of American exceptionalism. He once caught his youngest child, Nathan, staring at his tattoos. P.I. quickly covered them up as he told the boy, "Nath, if I ever spot anything like these on you, I'll whoop the hell out of you." They were the result of a sailor's shore leave somewhere in the Caribbean during the 1920s, when P.I. had served aboard the light cruiser USS Omaha. He was an enlisted man back then, and tattoos were part of the culture. Now, in this new life, he was upper management. He would never be a stuffy, buttoned-up, chained-to-a-desk office type, but he had gone from earning a few hundred a month as a senior chief petty officer in the Navy to bringing home over $1,000 a month in the Philippines. Now, instead of working alongside weathered grease monkeys, his professional circle included some of the wealthiest people in the world. People who looked askance at something as low-brow as a tattoo. There was more to Pappy's past that could not be covered up with a shirt. His was a complex and sometimes tortured past. He had once been defined by his family's socioeconomic station in their tiny town back home in Arkansas. In his teens, he recklessly tried to break free of those southern small-town judgments and create a new life for himself. He was successful, at least until the law intervened. Since then, he abandoned his birthplace and had seen the world. Along the way, he invented and reinvented himself many times, layer added atop layer, until he had become a mix of often contradictory elements. No one person ever saw every layer, but Polly came closer than anyone else. P.I. buttoned his sleeve cuffs and reached for his tie. Solid black, the same one he had worn in the Navy. He finished off with a pair of brown Oxfords, another nod to his days at sea. Naval aviators wore brown shoes. Everyone else in the fleet wore black. Through his 20 years, the tension between the black shoes and the brown shoes never abated. If anything, those final years were frequently colored with open hostility between the two factions, as the battleship admirals fought to retain their sense of maritime supremacy in the face of air power's revolutionary bombs and torpedoes. All that rancor between the upstart pilots and the myopic, hidebound fleet types now lay in P.I.'s past. But that pioneering spirit he and his fellow aviators cultivated, that sense of openness to new ideas and innovation, had long since become a defining feature of P.I.'s character. He had no time for those who lacked the vision to see how technology could transform the future. He bent down and laced up his Oxfords while calling out, "Merced, let's get some coffee going." Merced was the family's hired cook. Coming to Manila in 1939, P.I. was a little overwhelmed at first by the finishes of polite American society there. Americans were expected to have Filipino servants and butlers and chauffeurs, and they could be hired so cheaply that even enlisted soldiers living off post around Fort McKinley could afford at least one. His family went from struggling to make it month to month to being waited on hand and foot. Polly, an accomplished and devoted chef in her own right, arrived in the Philippines to find her primary place in the household usurped. When she tried to help prepare the family's meals, the cook pushed back and rebuffed her efforts. So she fired him after checking with P.I. Merced joined the staff a short time later.